Welcome to That's a Chunky. I'm here with James, who does not live in a hotel, and the man who shouted, "We're gonna go nuts in there," Tyler from I Think You Should Affirm. Welcome to the show, Tyler.
Thanks for having me. It's great. It's great to finally be here. Oh man,
we're honored.
Long time coming.
Yeah.
So James informed me recently, and I think I got the story right. You saw Tim Robinson paint 93 stories that left you on the edge of your seat.
It's true. Yeah. I didn't know how to reconcile it. It was just insane.
How much money did you get for him talking? I think that's what everybody wants to know.
I'm not allowed to disclose the amount. I'm so sorry.
but in all honesty, you went and saw Tim in his New York City show.
Yeah, it was
the first one of the tour.
Yeah, it was a beautiful rainy day in Manhattan, and it was Dan flashes shirts as far as the eye could see.
Yeah, what was the crowd like? Were people like kind of just, was it like a normal show where people are filing in, or were people actually like kind of doing anything interesting other than wearing gear?
So I cut out of work early, because half day for Tim, but I also had a doctor's appointment. So after that, I was like, well, I got 4 hours to kill. I guess I'll post up at this bar nearby. And a lot of other guys that looked exactly like me were there, except they were in, handmade fedoras with safari flaps. Nice. It was good. Yeah, no.
Did any of them pull off the hat? Or
one guy pulled it off. He had the exact same fabric on his shirt as the flap, and that was the ultimate coordination.
Nice.
It was gorgeous.
And I think this was at the Candlelight Theater.
No, this one is right. Yeah, I was outside screaming with all my frat brothers. at the Beacon. Yeah, we're at the Beacon though. It's like a bigger candle, a brighter candle. He's moved up. He does talk this time. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. Yeah, there were a lot of people lined up. It was like 3,000.
Wow.
3,000 people. Crazy. Man. But yeah, nuts.
Wow. So the show starts off, and I'm guessing it's like just like what Tim and Zach kind of introduced, and or everyone out there has.
Good question. So, turn down the lights, classic theater experience. Bring the lights up, and cue Brooks Wheelan comes on, does I believe 8 jokes. He's got a list. He reads through the list. It's funny. It's a good bit that he does. About being a young Republican. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but you're a little kid. Your parents tell you to hate Bill Clinton. You're gonna hate Bill Clinton. You don't know why. So he gets through all that. He says, "Okay, we're done with that." And then, brings out Tim. Well, actually, I believe they queued up the "This Ever Happened to You" extended cut. That was fun.
Nice.
But yeah, that was the segue in. So it's good. But, do you want me to talk? Oh, yeah, it's fine. Let's get into it. So basically, imagine the sketch that everyone has seen, but way longer.
Way longer. All right.
Like, I feel like 3 times as long.
Wow.
Oh, that's really exciting to me.
That is exciting. I feel like, I don't know if I was on, if it was one of the times when I was on it, or if I just listened when Kevin, you and Jared talked I feel bad I'm blanking on his name, but the
Big Steve.
Yeah, Steve Moulton.
Yeah, Big Steve.
And I feel like he described a little bit about like what the recording was. So I'm guessing this is like some of the.
Yeah, let's spoil it. Let's spoil it a little bit. I'll spoil it. So it goes on.
Yeah, just listeners, there might be real spoilers here.
Yeah,
some real spoilers.
Jared didn't want to be here because he has some sort of romantic vision of. I think you should leave. But me and James, we're just like total whores. We were like, we need to hear this right now.
Yeah, give me that.
Slopping it up. yeah, no, just a lot more, color about like the toilet, a lot more time in the toilet. They're going in and out of there. And then it turns into like a bit about how they pretend that the homeowner is deceased. And that they just pretend that he's not alive and he's like standing there and they're pretending he's not alive and they end up throwing like a house party. It's a bit of a rave. A lot of characters you don't see in the original sketch. So that's unfortunate for them. And then they do some yard work. You know, they say the lawn looks like a shaved bush.
I'm interested in seeing that and getting just like I'm imagining that a lot of their sketches are like this where they have a much longer script and then end up like condensing it down really to the tight thing that we end up seeing, so like it's kind of interesting to it seems like it'd be interesting to see that and like see what they cut out to distill it.
I will say, you know, the final product of both of the extended cut sketches that they showed were pristine. Like they're edited so well, like a perfect flow, great cadence, like not too long. They're fantastic, but like it is super fun to see like all of the, you know, crazy stuff that they had thought of. I think that's what's fun about the show. It's just like a, you know, behind the curtain sort of thing.
I love that sketch too. That was one of my real early favorites. Now I'm getting really excited for this.
All right, I'm excited too, obviously.
And then I think it goes into a sketch called Done Deal, where it basically opens up, it's Tim and his like business partner at a table with like two clients, and they're like, oh yeah, thanks, like, oh, the proposal sounds so good, and they're walking away, you know, like setting up the scene, and you know, the two people they're talking to are like, you're like, oh, it's great, like I think we should make a move on. Tim comes back in the classic Tim thing. He's like, I know you stole my fucking wallet, give me back my fucking wallet. It's just like, and the guy's like, you mean that wallet? And he just points at the table right in front where he's standing. And then I would say the funniest part about the sketch is the one full minute of silence. Where he just like doesn't say anything and just stares at the guy. And he's like, ah, this is joking. You're like, wouldn't that have been so weird? Like, if
maybe Tim directed that sketch in character as Richard Brecky. That's my last Brecky joke.
That's your last one, really,
for this Brecky episode.
I did forget to add that like the whole premise of the show is they'll show a sketch, they'll bring out a guest first and then put on a sketch and say, should the sketch have stayed in or should it, you know, have been taken out like it was? And everybody said it should have stayed in. But yeah, it was fun. It's long, you know what I mean? Like it was just like, it's one of those things where you're laughing because it's like incredibly awkward. But yeah, it gotcha. Felt like similar to like, you know, the original one, you know, where he's like pulling the door and all that. So
yeah. Speaking of the like the way of, like, bringing our guests and everything? It was it like they'll just bring out another guest and then they like stay there the whole time, and or are they like cycling in and out? Like, does that mean the last guest is just sitting in the green room for like most of the time and then comes out at the end?
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much how it went down. I think, so yeah, I went, Sam came out, did the done deal thing, and then it was Patty. Then I think Seth Myers came out, who was so good. Like Tim did great, but like Seth, like, definitely was like picking up on things like every sketch, and was like, he was carrying the show for me. And I wish he was on tour for everybody, because he was perfect. He was so good. yeah, Whitmer Thomas, he was on guitar, and also he had like a soundboard that would just, you know, play silly stuff every now and then after a joke. Gary Richardson was there, from Carl Havoc and the choking sketch. Yeah, Poppers. And then they did have a mascot, as you do. It was a bird named Tori. It was a red-breasted robin. His bit was that he stole Tim's phone, which I think was actually Tim's phone. you know, took off his bird glove, so he had a human hand. he's like, "Oh, it's," and Tim's like, "It's my wife." And he's like, "She's breaking up with me." Like, it's just like very silly. So that was good. And then they brought out a fresh improv student, Bruce Buckles. Who I assume was also the bird. So that was the whole crew, and it was, oh, that's not true. Paul Rudd at the end, he was the one that sat in the back the whole time.
Oh, man,
nice. Yeah, that was truly amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a pretty star-studded group, and that's interesting that Paul Rudd would like be the last one to come out. And also, I guess, kind of interesting, I mean, I guess he's kind of has rolled with like the Tim and Eric people for a while, so it's not surprising that they'd have like a crossover, but I don't know that we've ever seen them in stuff together.
Yeah, maybe Chair Company, maybe he'll be in Chair Company. Yeah. But
yeah, what do we know any cast about Chair? I mean, Chair Company is just like an idea right now.
They picked it up. They had a whole announcement. HBO grabbed it, passed on computer school. Fine.
Yeah, so
over it.
So it sounds like, I mean, I guess this news was basically what the last thing we heard about computer school was the same thing, right? That they were picked it up for a pilot. So I don't know. I don't know that we ever found out what ended up happening with computer school.
Is there a writer's strike, pandemic, something like that? Something happened.
I guess one of the two. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that just kind of dissolved it from happening. And maybe I wouldn't be surprised if that sort of was translated into like, okay, instead we're picking up this pilot for this new concept, which.
Listen, my daughter, she loves tables. Can you do anything with tables?
It could be like a Pizza Hut and Taco Bell combination type thing, right?
It's
like,
oh, yeah.
They do computer school and Chair Company.
Could be.
In the same building, maybe. I don't know.
maybe we'll have like a HBO Sunday night Tim and Zach comedy hour block. With both of those shows back to back,
maybe some Veep reruns.
Yeah, perfect.
That'd be pretty.
Oh, I didn't realize though that Rachel Sennott was the writer and producer in that. You know, from Bottoms fame. Yeah, it's great.
And she's the writer and producer of.
Yeah, let's see. It says, I'm just reading this Deadline article. The pickup of the Chair Company follows HBO's pilot order to half pilots. HBO's pilot order to half hour starring, written and executive produced by Rachel Sennott. So like, is it Tim? Is it her? Do I know how to read? I don't know.
And then we have that whole AO Etta Beery connection between. Yeah. So it's like all the talented people finding each other, and it's going to be to our benefit, you know?
Yeah.
As long as they know how to work the body, right? I think it'll be okay.
Imagine Tim on season 3 of The Bear.
Oh, man. Yeah. I guess she was in Chicago, right? With someone else from The Bear, I believe.
Yeah. It's Lionel. I forget his last name, but yeah. Yeah. I feel like there is a lot of yelling in The Bear, but it's not really Tim style yelling, so it could be an interesting combo.
But yeah, I feel like they exhausted the yelling of food items already, and I think you should leave. So
Tim can pull anything, I'm convinced.
Yeah, I think so.
If you can pull off a sketch like Concrete Halloween, which is one of the most nonsensical things ever. Like sky is the limit.
Please.
No, you please.
Oh, I just wanted to say there was a, I'd say there's an underlying theme of most of the sketches that were cut. In the one that I described with the wallet, like I noticed it because like whatever, I'm just like weird as hell, but like you see a Jeep drive by out of focus, blurry in the background, and I thought, is that a Jurassic Park Jeep? it was called to attention after the fact. Tim segued into a story about how he had written a sketch for Jonah Hill as the owner of Jurassic Park as a wedding DJ. And he gets a phone call. It's a phone call. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking serious? God damn it.
That feels like that could really work as an SNL sketch. Like that would feel like it should go. It would be broadly palatable, and they could take on saying Jurassic Park. Whereas I feel like that maybe wouldn't fly on I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah, Lauren Michaels' feedback was that would have been a great sketch for 1993.
So,
didn't make it in.
I have a little theory.
Please.
I was a big fan, still am, I would say, of like, say for example, the Wu-Tang Clan. Originally they came out and they dropped these amazing albums. And then I think people were like, what did you guys make before? Like, do you have any lower quality stuff? Is there anything you didn't release? And people were like, yeah, we also like that more than everything else because it's just better, even if it's low quality. And I'm just hoping that's where we're going with Tim. Like, you know, we've obviously unearthed a bunch of the stuff he did before, like Carl Winslow, Homicide Detective, and the one where he's ripping people's necks off. But it's like he must have hours of footage.
Yeah. I also like, what do you think the, like, does SNL get to hold the IP for any like written sketches that were never produced? Like, is there any record of that they could go back to? Because even if they're written, it's a gold mine.
And like Lauren was an EP on Detroiters, right?
All right, yeah.
It's still like, but they're just, you know, I used to hang, when I lived in New York City, my friends who I hung out with every day were in film school at the time. And like, they probably shot like, I don't know, 20 to 50 hours of stuff a week. They'd just be shooting all the time. And it's like hard to believe that they weren't doing the same. So, I don't know. And I just think we're going to find that most of it is funny. and we probably should have, like, we're probably assholes for not having watched it already until they got famous, but I mean, nothing we can do now. I think now would be a good time to interject that I had a fantasy basketball team this year called 55 points, 55 rebounds, 155 assists, 55 steals, 55 blocks. And I have a friend who's like, not into, I think you should leave. And he's like, I noticed your team name has a typo. One of it is 155. And I was like, no, that's cool. But it was a championship winning team. So I just had to.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I think it was I think you should leave vibes.
Yeah. I'm surprised that long of a team name would fit in whatever, unless you're doing like a.
I had to go PTS. Yeah.
Yeah,
you have a keen eye, James.
Yeah.
Just had to throw that out. I do also want to talk, because I was kind of offline a little bit, but James had a mega tournament on X, formerly known as Twitter. I think you personally were contacted by Elon Musk to do this.
Yeah, I was single-handedly keeping that website, you know, active. And now when the tournament ended, it's really gone downhill since then. Every year in March when the NCAA tournament happens, I always do, like, you know, everybody does a bracket. So I have been doing, and I think you should leave bracket every year. And so this year, since we had season 3 came out since the last bracket, I went ahead and put all 86 sketches into one bracket, which was very time consuming.
And bit of controversy over the split bozo sketch though, huh?
Yeah, I was, well, some inside baseball on how I set it up was, I was like, it would be cool if I could average all of the different websites that have done publications that have done a ranking of the sketches. And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be good. I should do that. And then I was like, that's going to take forever. And then I found that someone on Reddit had done that in a way that I was not a super big fan of how they did it, because they blended stuff that was a ranking of just one season with a ranking of the whole thing. And like, so
aren't you like a big data analytics guy?
I definitely am, but I'm not a big data entry guy, and it would have taken a lot of typing. Okay,
I
could make a list of all the sketches from 3 different sites, and then I have to make sure I got all the names exactly right, and then figure, you know, some of them split up sketches and some of them don't. And so I figured it would be a lot easier to just cheat off of what someone else had done and use that. And so, but that person hadn't split up some of this, or hadn't split up some of the sketches, hadn't whatever. So to make it an even number, I think I added one separate, I think I TC Tuggers wasn't separated, and I separated it, which is the most questionable one. I think you can get away with Bozo Dubbed Over being two separate ones, but so 86, and the seeds were a little also questionable, because it was basically averaging, like, I forget all of it, was like I think one of them was like Esquire or something, and then like Vulture, you know, the usual, the Bill Simmons, like
The Ringer,
The Ringer, anyway, so but some of those I was like, oh, this is poorly seeded, this one's way under seeded, and this one's way over seeded, whatever. I felt like I had enough of a pulse to recognize which ones were wrongly seated, and
it sounds like you rigged it. It sounds like it was rigged.
You might think that, but I didn't do fucking shit. I didn't rig shit. I've been waiting a long time for a hit on x.com. So there were some season 3 sketches that put up a valiant fight. And I think it was a little interesting to see that season 2 had, like, at pretty much every round had the most lasting through. I think like the Sweet 16 was like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, something like that. It was mostly way more season two than other ones. And the final was Brian's Hat versus Coffin Flop. So it was, it came down, let's see, let me make sure I get the final four right.
Real Iowa, South Carolina, huh?
It was adult ghost tour, Coffin Flop, Brian's Hat, and Hot Dog Car Crash.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was, I think possibly some of that might have been I'm sure some of it was a product of the arrangement of the seating. I feel like adult ghost tour was a 9 seed from the rankings, which was definitely underseeded. But I was a little surprised that it made it to the final four. I feel like Bones Other Money easily could have made it.
I prefer give me that to Adult Ghost Tour, which Adult Ghost Tour beat.
Yeah,
and Focus Group. Adult Ghost Tour beat Focus Group, which.
Yeah, that was surprising. That was very surprising.
Listen, it's like you were saying. It's like you were saying before. It's a bunch of normies watching this show now.
Yeah.
Well, once it got to the point where all the season three sketches were out, and Brian's Hat was still in, I was pretty confident that I was going to win because it had won the season one and two bracket 2 years ago, and like didn't really seem like there had been enough of a cultural shift towards any of the other like season one or two sketches that people had like rediscovered or anything. And that there was some drama in the final in the championship because rather than running everything through Twitter where every account gets to vote once, I was running it through a Google form and anybody can just vote multiple times through those unless you require them to sign in with the Gmail account. Which I didn't want to do. So there wasn't any obvious vote tampering until the last round. And it was like, it went from Brian's Hat just basically gaining its lead at a consistent pace over the first day and a half. And then like enough that I was pretty confident that I could start writing up the like summary at the end. And then I checked back in later and suddenly Coffin Flop has jumped up into the lead. And so then I was like, all right, this is when the data analysis had to happen. So I had a log of all of the votes and I could see that around 6:30 p.m., like a string of hundreds of consecutive Coffin Flop votes with not a single Brian's Hat had come in. I was like a little bit unsure what to do, but you know, I decided there were no rules about multiple voting. This was the adult poll, and you know, so I was gonna let it go.
Biff Whiff says, you know, he says, Elon, promise me that all those bots that you're kicking off the platform will never do another rule in respect to Google Forms.
Exactly. So.
I actually know somebody hired a Canadian bot farm. And that person was Vinod.
Oh man, I thought it was it smelled of Vinod.
Yeah, he had money on DraftKings for Coffin Flop. Still couldn't do it. But by the way, talking about Brian's Hat's run, it beat Claire's, which is a hilarious sketch. Has this ever happened to you? Baby of the Year, Bones Are Their Money, and Coffin Flop. So it's kind of a well-deserved W.
Yeah, I mean, it was a, I think I need to go back and like do some analysis of like the vote margins to see, because I think some of those easily could have been like actually the second favorite of the whole bracket. Sure.
What do you remember something being like particularly surprising to you? I mean, it sounds like you had a lot of surprises.
I think the biggest surprises were just like seeing how far some of the season three ones went compared to other stuff. So like the zipline sketch went pretty far. It was like Elite Eight and lost to hot dog car crash. Mm-hmm. 55 Burgers lost to Bones Are Their Money, but mm-hmm. went pretty far. I think that one, I think Bones Are Their Money was like, and 55 Burgers probably could have like been seated differently and gone farther. Mm-hmm. The Egg Game and Driving Crooner face each other, and then Driving Crooner lost to Adult Ghost Tour. So like those, it was interesting. I guess the season three ones, it's kind of like there's only a handful that have really taken root with a lot of people, but all of those were pretty successful here.
Yeah, you got like, you got the Crooner cam now with the Mets game.
Yep, Crooner cam, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think that was like the interesting thing. Most interesting thing was just seeing season three, and there were a couple like first round. I guess a couple that were pretty surprising were how quickly the Crashmore things got out. They basically flamed out very early, and that
Bozo
was
dubbed a big over lost in the first round.
Yeah, Bozo dubbed over.
I am gonna while you think, I'm just gonna throw out anyone who voted against Crashmore is a fool. I just can't. I watch a lot of sketch comedy, Chappelle Show, SNL. I watch Mad TV. There's not many sketches as good as Crashmore.
Better than Mad TV?
You know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But the fact is, I can't remember almost any sketch. Well, it's TNT on Mad TV. But
you're a big Stewart fan, right? Yeah, like always like,
you know, weirdly, that was probably funny to 11-year-old me.
Yeah, exactly.
it's all a gateway.
That's great. What a journey. I'm glad, you know, the right sketch won, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like Brian's hat, this also anytime there's any attempt at ranking or like voting on or whatever sketches from the show, it's like no matter what the results are or the rankings are, there's always someone who's gonna say, this is insane, my favorite sketch was ranked at the bottom, and there's always gonna be people who are like, this is insane, the winning sketch is one that I never laughed at or whatever. Yeah, and so it's just it shows you how wide the appeal can be and how like many different senses of humor are touched on in the show, which is like kind of interesting.
He's got a lot of big Fred Armisen fans. Like, they think he should have won. Punching that little boy.
I think I will say there weren't too many big like Don Bondarli buffs who are coming out of the woodwork complaining about that. Despite our love of Andre Bilou, there weren't really any people complaining about the ad for Little Buff Boys getting out.
I just remembered, I was watching Top Chef the other day, which no longer stars your fan, Padma Lakshmi.
Yeah.
And it was in Wisconsin, and the goal was to make something featuring cherries, but in like a unique way. And the whole time I was like, I can't believe no one's making cherry chuck steak. I would get like voted off the show to make that. Like, if I was the best chef in the world, I'm like, they're getting some fucking cherry chuck steak. But they didn't do it.
Man.
Yeah. Well, you got to work your way up the Food Network shows so that you can actually fulfill that dream.
My wife was actually almost cast on like Top Chef Amateurs, and then COVID shut it down.
Oh man, really?
I know.
Man.
But I just want to throw out, I'm just looking through James's mentions real quick. There was a guy who said, people think Coffin Flop is funny. And I just want to like tell that guy, like, obviously one of your relatives fell through the bottom of a coffin. Like, there are therapists that specialize in that. So, get therapy. It is funny to the rest of us. Really funny. Like, really, really funny. Anyway.
So anyway, the rest of the dinosaur stuff.
Yeah, let's I guess,
yeah, we're right in the middle of that.
No, I don't know, good. Know what it's good. What thought it's is. Good. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, I guess well before we yeah. dive too far back into I guess I don't know that should we keep some mystery where we don't go through every well, yeah. single we don't go in detail yeah. on every sketch, but I think it'd be no, worth yeah. it to like hear any highlights or you know through lines like dinosaurs yep. or whatnot.
Yep. I'll give you the high level. A lot yeah. of recurring themes. Old guy, stringy white hair, kind of weird, at a diner perhaps. Really big dinosaur fan. So there you go.
All right.
And then a man with an unplaceable accent picking on Zach Kanan, but also at a, I guess, a planetarium or a zoo, but it's like a for adults only, listening to a woman talk about dinosaurs.
Honestly, that sounds great. Kind of. I would do that.
Yeah.
I would pay so much for this ticket if I didn't already have one.
There you go.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess the only other, like, you can see why the ones that, like, didn't stay in, like, didn't, like, you know, stuff like that. Like, yeah, this is kind of similar to this other one. But, like, I think they would stand on their own. And then, yeah, like, I'll just end it with there's one where Sam and Tim are background actors, and Sam just keeps doing the something stinks hand motion the whole time. and I think that was perfect. But, no, everybody should go, you know, figure it out. seal a ticket, scalp a ticket,
yeah,
get there,
you have payday loans,
yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I'm very interested. I also, so from hearing like reactions to the first three shows, there definitely, well, for one, there definitely were, after every one of them, there were people who were who were not aware that one of the people in the show was in character, and they thought that that was a real person for without spoiling anything more about that. So that
was, it was Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd. That's not his real name.
Really, I thought you were going to say character. He was in character as Ant-Man, and people thought it was actually
no. Ant-Man. He was Nude Tane. He came out as Nude Tane.
Oh, yeah, man. That's yeah, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, thanks.
And then I guess I think, especially after the New York one, it seemed like there were some people who thought that Seth Meyers did a lot of the carrying of the discussion, and the other people felt a little like they were just kind of winging it and not as prepared on what they wanted to say about things. Which I could easily see, it kind of makes sense that if they're the first time on this tour, they're not used to speaking in front of audiences, but Seth Meyers is doing that like every night for his yeah. show. So like, he's probably a lot more ready to just kind of like talk off the cuff.
Yeah, I would say one, like Brooks opened with there's going to be some kinks, it's the first show, and then somebody accidentally played like the last sketch, like I don't know. So that was funny. But yeah, it's interesting, like if you go back and read the Vulture article about the Netflix is a Joke Festival version of the show,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of the same thing, like there's like anecdotes and stuff like that. So there's like a sort of guide like mm-hmm. that they're on. And then I think what people liked about Seth was that he was picking up on little weird things during the sketches and then like adding in flavor from when they worked at Saturday Night Live together. So mm-hmm. he's like, oh yeah, like I really fought for like that John Hammond like sketch to go in, like, and like he made that joke about like Lorne Michaels saying, oh, it worked in 1993. Like that was all like really, really funny stuff.
Yeah,
like otherwise, you know, it wouldn't be there if he's not there. So I think I'm curious to know how like the Detroit show went, where it was like just the main cast. Like, yeah. I'm sure it was cool. Like, I bet it was like really fun to like watch them like riff off each other. Yeah. Like Seth was fantastic.
Yeah. I'm excited because we're going to the LA one. So it's going to be the last of the run. So it will be interesting to hear. Just like, that was part of what made me interested to hear, like, you know, fan reactions to each of them, is to get a sense of what they've been like leading up to that, and then see what our show ends up being like, and whether, well, I assume it's going to continue to be the same format, but like LA, there's probably a lot of opportunity for interesting guests, and
it's a hometown show. It's the hometown show, baby. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
So I'm excited to see. And yeah, I really, really hope that at some point they're like willing to release these extended versions. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, like, especially if the chair company show ends up kind of taking off and they are on hiatus from Netflix, like if they make some deal where Netflix like releases the, you know, whatever extended or cut stuff as like a more content.
Yeah, I'll just say I'll be looking for you in the crowd for on the Netflix special, because like if they're gonna record anyone, it's gonna be that hometown show, worked out all the kinks.
Oh,
you know, like
I'll be the guy in the Dan Flasher shirt. You can't miss me.
You got the polo or the Oxford.
Or the Actually, Shirt Brothers shirt.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I have the Shirt Brothers shirt. It would be fun if Kevin, Jared, and I all wear Shirt Brothers shirts, because that's a rarer, deeper cut.
Quick aside on the Shirt Brothers shirt. When, you know, couple days after the sketch launches, right? You know, I take the perfect screenshot of that shirt, feed it into the everybody's favorite image search engine, Yandex.com, Russian. And it comes up with an obvious phishing site. Like, they are just going to steal my money. And spoiler, $60 gone. Never got that back. PayPal, I was like, oh, I'll pay with PayPal. It'll be fine. PayPal's like, no, they said they shipped it. Like, they shipped it and it showed up instantaneously. Like, that's not how it works. From China to New York? No.
Wow.
So yeah, don't buy from websites that are that do not have SSL certificates. So smart. Even if you really want a shirt.
I do want to point out, you never know who's listening, but if anyone could just kind of like whip up real quick a Chunky costume for me, I would wear that to the show. In LA, so.
Why don't you actually wear the bird costume? Found that one online. You could just go. It would be two tourists there.
They might ask me to change if I did that.
That's like at a soccer game when another soccer ball comes on the field. Like, they would stop the whole thing and escort you out of there just to avoid any confusion.
I've actually seen clips of people dressing in the team uniform, and like, I saw one where a guy gets in the team picture. It's like a second level British soccer club. Like, it's not that small. He just kind of like wanders on the field and he's in the team picture. That's so you got to dream big, James.
All right. Well, I'm buying a bird costume then.
Let's do it.
I'm getting one of those outfits the Turbo team wears in Has This Ever Happened to You? And I'll just write like Americus on it. Actually, I don't think that was his name in the sketch. Anyway. Well, I'm super excited with what we covered tonight. Do you guys think we have anything to conclude?
I guess. Yeah, Tyler, any last like nuggets or tidbits that you think are worth passing on from the show?
No, I just want to say I didn't think this was ever going to happen for me. You know, I missed the Netflix one. I was devastated. I, you know, stood in the mall, contemplated life, wished I, you know, wasn't around. And then as soon as I saw this come online, I saw, you know, Brooklyn Vegan posted it 6 hours ago. I said, there's no way I'll get tickets to this. Sure enough, it was like, I was like, all right, like front row, I guess. Like, it's really weird.
They did so the was, move was, from like,
yeah.
Yeah, from like 500 seat theaters to like 3,000. That was
it was 75. It was like an insanely low number the first time.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope that like anybody that can't make it like can see it, whether, you know, somebody bootlegs it, like they obviously will, or Netflix, you know. It's a cash grab. Put it up.
Yeah. 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 You know, I was thinking, like, so obviously New York, Chicago, probably Detroit because it's a hometown, and LA are like big cities, big draws. But like, if you're a big fan, it's kind of like the eclipse. Like, you may be, it might be worth traveling to, like, you know,
are like, you saying the Airbnbs are sold out all along the
Well, you know, you gotta find a place where you can get the booking. So, you know, if you have to go to Nashville because that's not a big, I think you should leave town and there's still tickets, like maybe it's worth just getting in the car and driving so you can see that eclipse.
I mean, I'm going across the country.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I speaking of cash grabs, James, we might have to wear the three chunky moon unisex comfort colors t-shirt.
What color did you get? What color are you gonna get?
I'll probably just get one of each.
Oh yeah.
I like definitely red black.
Oh yeah, black, the classic.
I like the black one. Yeah. Well, I think the last shirt I bought from you had a modified Utah Jazz logo, and then I just realized I can't wear it anywhere. I can't wear it at my house. I just saw the logo and I was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's just, you know, I can't wait till my child stumbles upon it somehow. I have to have a discussion.
Oh man. Let me know after you guys watch the show for your favorite new, you know, revival for a word for jizz. That's something. Get back to me on that one.
All right. Good. I'm excited about that.
Then also, yeah, save your worms. Lots of merch there. You know, they got.
Oh yeah.
That's Tim a good
Robinson,
one.
Tim Robinson egg shirt on the back. What does it say?
41 eggs.
Yeah, very silly. Cactus, nice. Cactus plant shirt. Puff paint. Love a good puff paint shirt. But yeah, no, for real, like lots of cool stuff. Kerwin Frost, the, you know, Happy Meal guy. He's not a Happy Meal guy, but like they got some crazy guys there. Brain Dead's got some stuff.
Nice.
Insane. Just coolest merch. So
yeah. Oh, I gotta I'll start saving the worms for that. Yep.
Hell yeah.
All right. I think on that note,
yep.
We can stay on, but we're signing off. That's Chunky.
Peace.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks Diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a baby of the year bib and onesie. He has angels and archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.